systems go. Prepare for countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
Obscene, dirty, filthy, immoral.
What are you people? On dope?
Welcome to the Jumble. Today is Wednesday, March 30th, 2011, and my name is Matt.
And my name is Danny.
And thank you for joining us, episode 478, the Wednesday night show. Of course, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, thejamhole.com/live. Watch us, interact, say hi. We got a special guest coming on the show this evening. He was our very first interview ever.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. Back at episode 80.
Wow.
It was called Don't Tell Anyone, September 1st, 2008. Huh. And I talked to him through my mobile phone, my cell phone, on this mic stand, like through the speaker. It was great.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, it did sound terrible. I cleaned it up quite a bit, but we'll have a nice clean connection tonight, so that'll be good.
That I don't even have any kind of want to go and listen back to that.
Just because of the quality or
yes.
What? Yeah.
Yes.
It wasn't that bad, actually.
No.
It was listenable.
Your phone?
It was a good phone. It wasn't this one.
The Vogue?
Yeah, the Vogue. Do you remember the fucking Vogue?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I do.
And, we had a good episode of the Hotbox last night. We had a member from Leap call in, Jay Fleming. He was a old undercover cop in the Spokane, Seattle area, and he used to set up buys and bust college students and stuff, and he was all about, he was just like, yeah, this is ridiculous. We weren't helping anyone, and we were ruining kids' lives, basically.
That's fucked up.
Like, we completely ruined, these kids got felonies where they normally, you know, everything would have been good.
That sucks. That's,
yeah.
That's gay.
So, hotboxpodcast.com, check out that. It was the latest episode, and you can hear it replayed on the Normal Network every day.
And
so
you can hear
pretty
the Jam
awesome.
Hole talk about it.
Pretty awesome. I have to. It's my other show. Gotta.
Yeah, do you talk about the Jam Hole and the Hotbox?
I do sometimes when it's pertinent.
Every Jam Hole episode, you mention the Hotbox.
Only
just
if
saying.
We're doing a show the next day. Sorry.
No. Every episode, you mention
now
the
Now I'm
going
to make it a point to do that.
No, you already do, so it doesn't matter.
Well, now I'm gonna do it even more.
So, whatever. So
even
the Jam
more.
Hole is here to promote the Hotbox podcast.
It's just here to mention it because a lot of the listeners are the same. That's all. I don't see why you got to be such a see you next
because
Tuesday
you don't
about it.
Mention it on the other show. You
if,
don't mention us.
If that show had more listeners than this one, I would do that.
Whatever. I don't care.
It is whatever.
Fine.
I don't care either. Hey, what are we doing? July. In July, we're taking a trip. Mike Boudet getting his plane tickets. I hope you all join us. Thejamhole.com/forums. That's where you can see the post for it. It's going to be a pretty big podcast meetup. Very excited. Very. Red Fox from Spork Roast is putting it together. So
yeah, sounds good.
Hail, yeah.
I
let's do this and give Christian a call and get him on the line.
All right.
Very exciting. This new book is so awesome.
I read a little bit of it. Pieces, chapters here and there.
Well,
it's
sound,
pretty good.
It was. I like the first one, too. Good stuff, definitely. Oh. Yes.
Hello.
Christian Lander, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
Good. You are the author, if everyone knows. StuffWhitePeopleLike.com, that's the website. You had a book that came out back in July of 08. And we interviewed you for the first time. You are our very first interview, episode 80, like I was saying. That episode's called Don't Tell Anyone. And you have a new book out called Whiter Shades of Pale that just came out in, November it was?
Yep, November.
This book is so awesome. I love the diagrams, the pictures.
Oh, thank you.
That what did you wanted to do something a little different? Tell us about the process going, because you already had the first book and you didn't want to just kind of copy that verbatim, basically? Or?
Well, I mean, when the first book was done, I still had a bunch of material left, like things that I wanted to write that were going to be funny, but it had to be, you know, it wasn't just going to be an extension to the original. There had to be something new, some sort of twist to it. And I got really lucky that I was able to meet a couple of these kids in Arkansas, actually. I was doing a college lecture at the University of Arkansas, and these two seniors did the most amazing posters I'd ever seen for my appearance. And I, you know, I stayed in touch with them, and they did the posters for the site. And then when I got the chance to do this book, I thought, well, what if we do some line drawings, you know, for the regional guide? I got these two guys who I think get it, and the two guys, Joel and Jason, were just incredible. The work they did was amazing. They nailed it on the head. And yeah, it was just sort of, you know, it's still more of the same. I mean, it's not like a ridiculously new book. It's not a whole new direction. It's not like a, you know, a novel that I've written about a quarter-life crisis or something. No, it's still me making fun of white people. But it's been rearranged a little differently, and it's got some graphics in it, and it's a lot of fun.
It's presented differently, and I like that. The diagrams definitely tie it all together.
Yeah,
well,
those are pretty good. I like
so them. Is your target demographic for this book, you kind of shooting for the same group there, or are you switching it up a little bit with the diagrams, you know, appealing to those who are illiterate?
No, just going after 65-year-old retired Asian American males. That's it.
That's perfect. They're the ones with all the money.
Exactly. No, aren't they the happiest? Didn't they have a study that say if you're the happiest person in America, you're probably retired Asian American live in Hawaii? Like they were doing all the numbers.
Yeah.
It's the same audience as ever. I mean, it's people who can laugh at themselves. I'm making fun of myself as much as anybody. I mean, you know, I make fun of the Toronto white person, which is where I'm from. I was particularly harsh, but as being my hometown, I think I get away with it. And, you know, it's still definitely the same audience, people who want to, you know, laugh at themselves or people who just want to laugh at white people. And I'm fine with that as well.
That's awesome. So let's the Toronto person here. He's got a kickball shirt on, which is pretty neat. I had a friend just text me the other day being like, hey, kickball starting up. Are you in? I'm like, yeah, fuck, I'm in. Can't help it. Dedication to old trends is so strong that he has joined two kickball leagues. Damn.
Two.
Yeah. One. Did you used to play kickball also?
Yeah, of course. But of course, like any good white person, back when it was cool.
Yeah. Oh, and just real quick, can I just take a minute and just say how much I hate people who wear Ed Hardy. Can I just say that? God, I hate those people.
Ugh. You have no choice. We all do.
I know. I'm born into it. Once saw someone wearing this hat in the DOS section of Vice magazine. Say, I have a hat like that, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, you do.
Camera one there you go. Drives to Buffalo on Fridays in order to get authentic PBR in a can.
Oh, my God.
Also weird because PBR was the sponsor of our kickball team. So.
Wow, that's impressive. Well, the thing is, for Canadians, we have Pabst Blue Ribbon, but it's actually brewed in Canada. So for authentic, real deal Pabst, you have to go down to the U.S. to get your cans.
That's crazy. So when they drink it, it doesn't make them all violent as the Pabst that was brewed in America with that hate, that extra hate in it.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to get Canadians to get violent, but you know you got to cancel a Guns N' Roses concert. That's about it.
That's a good fucking start. And they wanted to get sneakers like that British guy he saw in Kensington Market, but couldn't find them anywhere. Injured snowboarding, but when talking to Americans, likes to use it as an example of the superiority of the Canadian healthcare system. Fucking brilliant.
Yeah, we're dicks like that.
I noticed a while ago you were doing a talk show of sorts on, what was that, the MSN?
I messaged you at the tail end of that. That was a couple summers ago. I was approached by I was an ad agency working with Microsoft. They wanted to do a live streaming event. And, you know, they wanted someone to sort of just test out and see what we could do with a live streaming show that was actually live. And it was great. I mean, the whole thing was there was a larger campaign that was going to go around it, and it was just going to be a small component of something bigger. And that sort of ended up falling through. But I had an absolute blast. It was awesome. I got to talk to Ben Huff from I Can Ask Cheeseburger and Felicia Day and Dan Deacon. And, you know, we really had some – Andy Milonakis. We had some great guests, and it was a lot of fun. And it was – for the agency that I worked with, they sort of, you know, cut their teeth on how to do a live event that was, you know, sponsored, that was still advertising,
right,
but didn't feel completely controlled. Like, felt controlled enough that it wouldn't, you know, that it wouldn't be a total disaster, but didn't feel like, oh, great, so every swear word I say is not going to get through. You know what I mean? It didn't feel lame. So they cut, and then they've started doing cooler things since then. And the people I worked with, they've changed agency, but the thing they did 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you saw the Duran Duran David Lynch concert that was in L.A. They put it on live, and it was incredible. Like, David Lynch was live directing a Duran Duran concert.
Oh, was that the YouTube event that they streamed?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, holy shit, YouTube streamed that many people and didn't have crash problems or whatever.
Yeah, I was there. They gave me tickets. It was pretty awesome to see the show.
Yeah, the numbers it they was, had yeah. were impressive.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was an awesome show, too.
So are you mad at that Tosh.0 kind of took your job then, of sorts? Or was that no ill feelings?
Tosh.0 was actually very much like that. E did that web soup show where they, you know, where they're taking clips from the internet and doing it, and they couldn't get it to work, and Tosh made it work. So I got nothing but, you know, good for him that he got it right. Like, he found the formula that worked. That's getting people to watch. The one that breaks my heart is I just wish I could have been involved in Portlandia somehow. They're just doing such a good job. It just breaks my heart that I can't be a part of that.
That would have been made for you.
Yeah, they do it. They did it like.
Do they know that?
Oh, I think they have to. But any anger I feel towards them is I wish I'd done it, you know, first.
Right.
But they're great. I love that show. So they're the ones that not necessarily stole my job, but did my job better than I did.
Right, I see. And that I saw on a few of those episodes, you guys were giving away like laptops and you had people coming in. It was very interactive. It was really cool. Who had the creative control on that? Was that all you, or was that them approaching you with like a list of here's what you're doing?
It really came down to them. I mean, because when you're dealing with stuff like that, it's advertising. You have to get buy-in from the client. So everything has to be done, you know, laid out well in advance. So,
right. So but it was more tailored to the client than really anything else, it seems like.
Well, they give you enough freedom to do what you want in there. But obviously, you know, their jobs are on their line and you've got to give something that they want, but still make it good. So it was a good experience across the board. I just had a blast doing it.
That's cool. And we saw your white person bingo video.
Oh, that was fun.
Where did that come from? Was that just
so
one
that's
of the...
me with my buddy Alex. Alex is a really funny guy. He has like he does a thing called a bajillion hits, where he's like a social media guru, kind of making fun of all the social media gurus.
Nice.
And he's a really funny guy. He's a comedy writer out in LA. And so Random House for the new book came to me and said, "Look, we need to do a little video, just you know, to help with promotion. Nothing too crazy." And I was like, "Well, what if we did a video of like a travel bingo?" Because when I was a kid, we always played a travel bingo where you'd like cross off if you saw a silo or, you know, an out-of-state license plate or something.
Yeah,
and so I said, what if we did that with white people? And yeah, they put us in a car, a Prius, of course.
Of course.
With a film, like a director and a cameraman, and they were really cool guys. And we drove around Venice. The joke of the video was that Alex and I heard a rumor that the flea market in Pasadena had a oil painting that was on the set of Mad Men. And so to pass the time on the way out there, we were going to try and see all these white person bingo things, and we didn't even make it out of Venice Beach.
Awesome video. Very entertaining. In the book, I saw there was number 56, not vaccinating children.
What? Oh, yeah.
I like that.
I know. There's a lot of that stuff up here in Montana that they're like, oh, you're killing our children and all that. Jenny McCarthy's
you know what's,
their goddess.
You know what's killing their children? Polio. That's what's killing their children.
Yeah. These diseases that we no longer have to worry about, those are what's going to kill your children, for sure.
Yeah, it absolutely blows my mind. I mean, it was something I kept seeing over and over and again. And what was amazing was all these people were like, no, I'm not going to believe all of Western medicine, the New England Journal of Medicine, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to believe Jenny McCarthy. She seems like she knows what she's talking about.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to believe.
I don't think anyone remembers singled out or the abomination that was there.
And this logic of it's all natural, 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 etc. I'm like, yeah, disease is natural. Absolutely.
Right.
So and I guess you'd rather have your kid die of, you know, malaria or rubella than, you know, put something foreign in their body. So it was a ridiculous amount of hysteria that still angers me. I mean, there's the people who use this logic. They're like, well, if all the other kids are vaccinated, then mine doesn't have to get vaccinated. Then it's not a problem. And I'm like, oh my God.
That's
I cannot
like
believe
the definition.
Actually saying that out loud.
I know. It's wow.
I'm still furious about it. Because it's literally like vaccination is one of the greatest things Western medicine. You know, Western medicine, for all the people who want to say it's evil or it has all these problems, et cetera, if we are now trying to say vaccination, the thing that cured polio, you know what I mean? The thing that essentially wiped out these diseases that ravaged humanity for centuries. Tuberculosis? Yeah. And now we're saying, not for me.
Jeez. I think they need to see it firsthand what it's capable of, because I think a lot of these diseases have been eradicated for so long that a lot of these people, they have no like association with it. You know, to them it's like this storybook thing, and the whole herd immunity thing, like that's kind of the basis of it. And if everyone's like, yeah, we'll let someone else do it, it quickly breaks down, and that's yeah. It's too bad that, you know, they do follow what she says. And I mean, they have to know that her kids are crystal children, so that's not even going to work on your kids anyway. I mean,
yeah,
duh.
And Who knows, man? I
thought that was a neat correlation that you also had where the wild things are, because I thought that was just every mother that has an autistic kid, that's their favorite movie because of,
yeah,
so that pretty awesome association there. So what are you working on next? I heard you were taking a little vacay going.
I sold stuff White People Like as a pilot to Fox last year, like as a script
pilot.
That's awesome. We wrote it, and I worked with some really awesome people, and then ultimately they chose not to go forward with it, which is just, that's
not
totally
so
normal
awesome.
For television industry.
You got
and
beat out by
the last six months, seven. Since July of last year, from July until the end of January, I worked as a staff writer on this new MTV animated show from David Gordon Green, the director of Your Highness and Pineapple Express, called Good Vibes. It's animated. It's coming out this fall. And so, yeah, I was a staff writer writing for that show, and it was amazing. It was one of the best experiences ever. It was so much fun. We had the best voice actors working with us. Like, Danny McBride's a voice on the show, and it was really cool experience. And then now staffing season for television is just starting to get underway and should be ramping up in the next couple months, and I'll see if I can hopefully get staffed on one of the new shows for this fall.
That's awesome. So is that what you kind of wanted to do with life? Like, that's the end game, is be a TV show writer?
Yeah, that's why I moved out to Los Angeles. That was what the dream was. And, you know, I'd wanted to do it ever since I was a kid. I was really hoping that I'd get the – I just never thought I'd figure out a way to pull it off, because it's not like it's impossible to do, but you got to have a lot of luck and a lot of flukes, and a lot of things have to break your way for it to work. And for the people who make it, they're just the people who had that happen to them, and that's just sort of the way it is. And so I didn't think I was going to be a person with that kind of luck, but – turns out I was wrong. I did have that kind of luck, and I get to at least keep trying to see if I can make this as a career.
So, yeah, because I think last time we talked to you, you were still living in New York, weren't you?
No, I was in L.A. I've never been in New York. I've never lived in New York. People are always surprised by that. But, no, I was still in Culver City in Los Angeles.
Oh, well, there we go. So would you say that that's a pretty – like, you did the website first, right?
Yep.
And then you got the book from the site.
Yep.
And then another book follow-up to prove that it wasn't just a fluke. And
yep.
Then the gigs kind of go from there up to TV. And is that, like, how much luck was really in there? I mean, it seems like that's a pretty good path to take as long as you have the talent.
Yeah, but let's also not forget that I started a website as a joke. 6 months later, I had a New York Times best-selling book. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people start websites as a joke all the time and don't necessarily have that. So that's where the luck was. That, I mean, the thing with TV writing and making that is in LA and Hollywood essentially is that, you know, when you want to get a job as a TV writer, or you want to get a movie made, or you want to do something, you have to take meetings, right? You have to have people want to meet with you so they know who you are, they know you're funny, they'll look at your stuff, right?
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, they don't, and this isn't a conspiracy in any way, it's just logic. If they've never heard of you, why do they take that meeting? So just logic-wise, like why do they take that meeting? And the answer is they don't. So it's this kind of unfair thing in Hollywood that to make it, all you have to do is do something amazing and spectacular and get famous on your own without help from anybody. And then you'll be fine after that.
Right, and then they'll have heard of you, and then there you go.
Then you have the meeting. So it's like you look at the people who've had success. So like the South Park guys, for example,
right.
They made, you know, the Christmas card video that got passed around. And then all of a sudden, they obviously have talent and they're amazing and their talent was reflected in the video. But all the execs were like, yes, we want to meet with these guys. We want to do this with these guys. We want to do a project with these guys because we know who they are. Same with like Andy Samberg and everything, you know, from doing the online videos. So you have to find a way. And it's not easy. I mean, there is so much luck involved to like finding the right bit of comedy that matches your style with something that's going to hit with a large audience. Like it's difficult, and it's really hard to do if you set out to do it. You have to really almost just hit it just right at the right time. So that's what I mean by the sense of luck. Right. After that, you need a tiny bit of talent and just, you know, not be a dick, and you'll be good.
That's awesome. That's a good formula. It seems like with the internet, it's getting a lot more flooded, so you really do have to do something that stands out above anything else that's out there for it to get noticed, just because of how much background noise there is now.
Yeah, you know what, though? I actually, the more I think about that, I think the amount of background noise is irrelevant. This is just my thought, at least, because it doesn't matter how much is out there. The fact of the matter is, if like everything on the internet sucked, I wouldn't be like, oh man, I'm just going to look at this sucky site over and over again. Oh, this is great. I wouldn't look at any of it, right?
Right, so, okay.
The fact of the matter is, if you do something that has whatever that secret ingredient is, right, and it's not tangible, you can't just like say exactly what it is. It's just there. The thing that somehow is the right name, the right time, the right resonant, the right format, all of it just clicks into place, it's going to be exciting because it's going to stand out so much from everything else that's already there and just be so exciting. And look, it doesn't always have to be completely revolutionary. It just has to be something that just grabs you. It just pulls you in. So a couple of my friends started the Text From Last Night website, right? Same thing with them. It was this brilliant concept, executed really well. Next thing you know, completely explodes. It was like, why didn't I think of that? Like, it's really simple. It's like, hey, we'll put your text on a website so other people can see it, right? Really basic, right?
Right, yeah.
But just
yeah.
Brilliant idea. There was a ton of noise out there, a ton of like other sites and a ton of other things going on, but that one just hit it, right place, right time, right concept. And so the amount of noise never ever, you know, for any of your listeners or for you or anybody who wants to hope to try to make it, never ever let that feel like a barrier to making it happen. Because the truth of the matter is, no matter how much bad stuff is out there, the good stuff's going to rise up.
Right. It may even, now that the more you explain it and I think about it, if there is just a ton of bad stuff out there, it's kind of like the base standard. So then anything above that does kind of rise up and people will take notice.
Absolutely.
Pretty interesting. So, well, cool, man. I hope you have a good trip and all that to where you're going.
Turkey. It's going to be fun.
Have you ever been? Is this your first?
No. First time.
Nice. You going to go start a overthrow or what's the plan?
Oh, I'm just going there to eat. That's it. Just trying to eat food. That's
nice.
All.
I hear they got good food there for sure.
Yeah. We've been planning it. We're going to tear it up.
Stay away from Hungary. I hear they're...
Yes.
Right. All right, man. Thanks for your time, dude. We appreciate it. Definitely.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Hell yeah. Well, have a good trip, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Christian Lander, everyone. Stuff White People Like, Whiter Shades of Pale. Buy it. New York Times bestseller. How about that?
The
website.
Cool.
Not too bad.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that show, I saw that show once. I was like, holy shit. Like, how did you do that? That looks so cool. Like, we're giving away laptops and all this shit. That's crazy, man. From website to web darling, book deals. Now I'm a TV writer. Now I write the bullshit you watch on TV and get paid bank. Always a good time talking to him, though.
That's cool.
I thought that was so cool that he dedicated as much of that part to that he did with the whole vaccinating your kids thing. Like, yeah. That's cool that he chose that to go after.
That's pretty cool. I like that, yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, so how are you, lady?
I'm okay. I'm good.
Phone lines are open now if you want to call. 406-204-4687. Skype the jam hole if you want to say hey.
Hey.
If Mike Boudet want to call, talk about this upcoming mega podcast meetup that's going down. It's going to be a good time.
Cool.
And
what?
And that's it.
Oh. All right. Is that a show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you okay? You seem tired again. What's the matter now?
I didn't feel too good before the show, and so whatever. I can't really talk over two people that talk a lot, so
hey,
I just kind of shut up.
We're white. That's what we do.
He sounds like Robbie.
A little bit, huh? Well, that's good. It can't just be like, I'm going to sit here and say something, and you're going to go, okay, that's a fun show. You guys enjoy listening to that? Good.
Well,
like, I'm glad that I said something and he said something back. That's how this works.
Yeah, but he was trying to talk and you're like,
Well, yeah, a few times. That's just hard because he's not here. Like, anytime we have a call-in thing, it does, you know.
So that's why I shut up.
Oh. Well, did you have any questions for him that...
I did kind of want to say some stuff, but, you know, it's cool.
You should have jumped in. What the fuck?
How the hell could I jump in when you two are running back? Each other over?
It's you want cool. me to call him back?
No, I'm good.
I'll call him back. Hold on.
You know what? No, dude. I'm dead. No, don't. Please don't. God.
Whoa.
The fuck are you doing,
forgot
dude?
Forgot this thing is, like, too tall now, and it when I try to scoot in, it hits the whole desk, just knocking shit over.
So. Anyway.
Still waiting for that phone call. Here's a check. We love your show.
Yeah, right.
Oh, fuck.
We're not
all right.
That awesome.
Starting it off at the top of the hour from Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic. This lady has what you could have had. These health officials here, they've removed a mummified remain of a fetus from the abdomen of a 59-year-old woman who had absolutely no clue what was causing the sharp pain in her stomach for
a mummified fetus
4 decades. By the way, I haven't just been living with this sharp pain for a few years, decades.
So what,
30
did she
years.
Get pregnant and like it just kind of died and stayed in there or what?
Like you got pregnant and just forgot?
No, huh. Okay, I don't think she could forget, but she probably didn't know she was pregnant. And her body just didn't expel the fetus.
Could it stay in there for decades, though, and just hang out? And
If your twat didn't want to let it go, I don't know.
You'd think it would. I don't know. I like to think that our
it
bodies
have... It probably wasn't developed fully, either. It probably died.
The gynecologist, the chief gynecologist here at the Luis Eduardo Ibar Hospital in Santo Domingo... says the woman had carried the petrified fetus for at least 30 years. 3 decades.
Damn.
The Haitian woman told physicians she had long experienced pain, but she never received adequate medical attention until she recently entered the public hospital with digestive complaints. And I guess if you're Haitian, like you may not even notice that, right? Because you just get raped so much. You just... I don't know. Like, I would think you would just be numb to it after a while, you know? Well,
sure.
She did finally end up giving birth to a beautiful 3-pound, 12-ounce solid mass of petrified, or not petrified, mummified.
That's disgusting.
That would be weird, right? If it was petrified.
But how did it like stay in there?
Egg,
why?
Held on? I don't know. It must have just been, like, right in that spot, and then every time she got raped, it got crammed up there even further. That's
so
not
that child
healthy.
Is like 30 years old, a fetus. It's
well,
a 30-year-old fetus.
Sure. If you want to look at it that way,
that,
yes.
That fetus, you are that fetus.
You're
right
30-year-old. Yeah, you just gave
That's
birth
you.
To me. I'm that fetus. I've had enough of that defeatist attitude.
It comes
terrible.
Out like I'm 30 years old, bitch.
I know. Where's my welfare check, bitch?
All right.
Fucking hungry.
We got a lot of lost time to make up for. Where's your checkbook?
Oh, and your shitter's clogged. Oh, that's what that pain is from. Fuck. All right.
I want to know how it stayed in there, so go ahead.
Yeah, me. Well, that was it. That's it for that.
She just decided to give birth to a 30-year-old
Well,
fetus.
She went to the hospital, and he yanked it out. They removed it. She was 59 years old.
Yeah.
So it was 30 years. She was 29 about. That's crazy. All right, moving on. Here's a gentleman that did get his chance at fame, and he will be featured on a TLC show. This gentleman, his name is Ron Lowe. You know what his business is?
What?
Foreskin restoration.
You mean like putting a little flap of skin back on?
Right. Putting the sausage wrap back around the thing there.
That's gross.
Every time I see restoration, I think, stat disaster restoration. Because that fucking commercial.
Okay.
Can you imagine if it was foreskin restoration, stat. That'd be awesome.
No.
Yes, the foreskin, the stuff that covers the head of a penis unconquered by circumcision. Oh, that foreskin. One might think that once it's gone, it's not coming back. Like virginity or John Edwards. Oh, this guy's got jokes. That would not be entirely true. Lowe of Northbrook said the little...
Well, I mean, it's got to be like any skin on your body. All, I mean, like, what do they do for surgeries and stuff when they're going to do like skin grafts and things like that?
They take it from your ass.
No, they put a balloon underneath your skin, underneath the layers of your skin, and stretch it and, like, you know...
Aren't we growing
slowly,
skin now?
I think we can, but I don't know. Well, it's easier to get it from yourself.
Or it was just for burn victims.
Well, they can fucking put a balloon under your skin and just pump it up, like, you know, every little bit, and it just stretches and shit, you know, and they just take that.
So that they stretch it out and then cut that off and then attach it?
Put it on your dick, I guess.
Why would you do that, though? Like, are you getting feeling back? Because I'm going to guess probably not, right?
Yeah, you would.
How? You're attaching something that like... Are there nerve endings in the skin that you're actually reattaching?
I thought
they were just kind of putting it on there and...
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Do burn victims have feeling in their fucking replaced skin?
I don't think so, dude. I think they're all numb. Numb to this world.
I don't think they're numb.
I think they're completely numb.
I think it fucking attaches itself and, I don't know, shit wires itself and... I don't fucking know.
Just magically. Burger says, I think I've jerked off so much my foreskin is growing back.
You keep pulling on it.
That's what'll happen. He said the little little turtleneck-like collar of foreskin left over behind the penis head, as well as some of the shaft skin, can be stretched to approximate the real thing. Oh, so... No, what they're doing is, like, stretching your dick skin until it's foreskin again.
Yep.
That's not at all what a skin graft is.
Well, they're basically still doing what I said, stretching the skin.
That does answer the question about getting the feeling back.
You do get feeling.
You get feeling right away. Right when he tugs. Ow!
Right when
stop it!
That doesn't move.
I changed my mind. Forget it. I don't
Can
want
you imagine being
foreskin.
That doctor, that specialist? Here, let me see your dick. Pull on that.
Pull on this. Set that there. Tug here.
Now pay me a grand.
Now pay me a grand. Hello. Quote, foreskin has the highest concentration of pleasure-receptive nerve endings, and it can serve as protection for the glands. That's the penis head, for those of you in the know. Keeping it moist and supple rather than dry and toughened. Like a piece of fucking jerky over here.
I like it dry and toughened. Okay, the moist and supple is disgusting looking.
Whoa.
Just saying.
Why?
Because it's like just
like
so...
Why is that wet? Are you peeing?
No, it's like it's like when you open vagina lips. That's what the head of your dick will feel like. It's really like soft and like
so you'd rather
sensitive.
It feel like sandpaper like old
no,
wrinkly
the head of a dick circumcised dick is still soft but a circumcised dick because it's always covered it's just I don't know it's not,
just not the
it's
same
like fragile and it has it gets a smell and yeah
Ew, really
yeah well huh. I mean like
wash
I don't
it
know think about
you
it
can't wash it because it's too supple.
Well, no, you can wash it, but...
Well, wash it, then.
It's like when you...
Does that just stink? Then wash it. Shit.
I don't know, dude. It's gross. I don't like it. It looks like an anteater.
What would you pay for this procedural?
Nothing.
Is this inpatient, outpatient? What are we talking?
You're probably in the hospital for like a week.
He says he helps about 10 men per day restoring their foreskin. Ugh. Calling from the nerve center of TLC Tugger, his Northbrook house. I think this guy was on, what the fuck was that show? Sick and Wrong, a long time ago. This totally sounds familiar, the TLC Tugger. I think they actually interviewed this guy. It's pretty cool.
And he's a tugger.
He's a tugger. Here, just set this here and tug. The 10 a day rate may soon rise. He and his company will be featured on the first episode of Strange Sex, a TLC show airing 9 p.m. Sundays.
Dude, that would be so weird if you're like, you know, you're circumcised and you go and get that done, you get your shit back, and then you decide you don't like it again and go get circumcised again. You're like, I want it back. You go through like phases, you know. By the end of your life, you're like, I've been circumcised 6 times.
Right.
You know, like, that's fucking weird, dude. That's not natural. Come on.
How many times do you think you could do it before event you would just run out of dick skin?
Well, you keep growing it.
Would you?
Yeah.
Really?
You're just stretching it, dude. It grows.
Huh.
Skin.
Is that why I'm getting shorter? From carrying all those, like, my arms are getting longer, but I'm getting shorter overall. Which, and eventually, when you guys bury me, or burn me, or whatever the fuck, it's gonna be a weird looking, I'm gonna be a weird looking creature when I'm
gorilla.
Older. I'm gonna be like this tall with arms like slapping Danny in the face from here. Hey, what's that?
Do you really feel with like your big, arms are getting longer and your bit. Body's getting
Look
shorter?
Look at this wingspan. Look at this shit. My dick all like tugged to the fucking floor along with my arms. With like little short legs.
You do have short legs. Terrible. Just saying.
Like fucking tree trunks.
Yeah, but they're good and short.
Thanks.
Like stout little tree trunks.
I always think that because I carry that shit around all day. Like, I wonder if that's kind of doing that to me.
You know what? You know what? Your legs remind me of when you're naked.
What? Please enlighten us all, please.
Those big old turkey thighs. Those fucking like a turkey drumstick thing. You know, like the whole. because
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, like the cartoon, like haha, I'm eating a turkey drum thing or whatever. You know, the big leg, right? That's what it looks like to me. It's because you're pretty much tan everywhere except for from your belt down.
Okay.
And when you take off your pants, your ass and that like thigh part kind of glows. So it's like boom. Look at my short leg. To stuff. And it looks like a little cartoon, like a ham hock or something. I don't know.
Okay.
It's kind of weird.
A ham hock. Wow. I think you've just found my rap name. MC
yes,
Ham.
Yes, Matt has fat legs. It's quite cute.
Ham MC Ham Hock.
He's got a quite round, bubbly
the big
ass
old
too.
Grand cock.
You do. You have like a big old bubble butt. it's hairy though.
Was that it? Are you good?
I'm good. I'm going to go back to not talking now.
So, the TLC Tuggers will share a half hour show with a segment on a woman who has two vaginas. And there's your Monday night.
Wait, what?
Or wait, Sunday. There's your Sunday night at 9 p.m.
What?
We'll watch Tuggers and a woman with two vaginas. Do you think you could tug your shit into two?
No. It would be a giant flat.
Could you
penis.
Bifurcate it like the tongue?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Does that work?
That. I think I've seen it.
Can it go like this?
Unless
like,
it was fake, but I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure you
can I have two urethras? You're going to need a splitter, like for the windshield wiper things. You're going to need to tee that off and bring one over here and one over here.
I don't know about all that, but.
That's awesome. Just rewire the gully works there for me. Yeah.
And then just like whole new meaning
on that fucker.
Double penetration.
Fuck yeah, DVDA. Hey, where's the other guy? Check this out.
I just gotta turn sideways. Hang on.
Whoa. So well, that's Dude. Good. I'm glad we're out of a depression that we can afford to get our shit elongated or whatever for $60. He says. Tugger guys are toilet stall guys.
$60 to get your fucking foreskin back?
Holy shit. He says tugger guys are toilet stall guys, not urinal guys, he added. You need to harangue this elaborate equipment in your pants.
Do what?
Because you're... Okay, so go to tlctugger.com. That's the website. The cones, it's soft silicone... Silicones, he designed that combine to clamp the foreskin after it's been stretched over the head. The cones are attached to a strap that loops around the leg near the knee or over the shoulder, depending on what your Okay. Or you can clip on a weight of between 5 and 15 ounces and let gravity do the tugging.
Dude.
You add weight until discomfort starts to set in sooner than 4 hours. After 4 hours, you take a break, use the toilet. That's why you gotta use the you're not a stall, you're a stall, not a urinal guy, because you got this big thing wrapped around your fucking dick. Do you imagine it getting like caught in something and just completely ripping your dick off? Like unforeseen consequences of attaching a weight to your dick. Okay.
Yeah, I don't
so, TLC Tugger, check that out.
Well, whatever.
We should try and interview him next.
No, I'm good.
How awesome would that be?
Would you do it?
I would do it. Oh, wait, do it like the interview or actually put one on my dick?
Put one on your dick.
No, I'm not a big fan of the foreskin. I kind of like this convertible top down. I don't think
it's
I would
clean
free ball
looking
it.
To me. Like,
thank
seriously?
Well, it was until the surgery, but anyway.
Why was it just talking about your dick? I'm talking about circumcised dicks in general. They look cleaner than uncircumcised penises.
You can call mine the general of circumcised dicks.
It looks like really big vag lips wrapped around a cock. That's what it looks like. It's like this, scrumpled up. Thin.
Could you put the tugger on your nuts?
Probably.
And just get like big old hound dog jowls down there? That'd be crazy.
Could probably put it on pussy lips too.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Could you put them on pussy lips and the dick and form like one, you know what I mean? Like one, like a pussy dick tunnel of sorts. And then your little, like a port. Yeah. Like a port, but with a chick, not a dude. Because that's
are
gay.
Are you cool? And Nolly's Undead says, circumcised dicks are aerodynamic.
That's right.
It's true. There's nothing in the way. Go faster
we go
without
faster.
Baggage.
We go faster. That's all. All right. Let's talk about Tanzania. Tanzanian. Okay. Tanzania.
Oh, my God.
We have a pastor. Hmm?
Okay.
All right. He's asked people to stop going to his remote home for a miracle cure because I am all sold out. No, after thousands of people apparently flocked there, causing chaos in the surrounding area. The Reverend Babu Mwasapili, 76, says he does not want any new arrivals until after Friday, April 1st, to let the crowds die down. In which case, he will come out and say, April Fools, I got your money. Local media report that about 52 people have died while waiting to see him. And they BBC,
that really sucks.
A BBC reporter says they saw a line stretch for 16 miles.
What the fuck?
16 miles. A line of people 16 miles long.
Don't you think after, like, the mile mark, you just be like, fuck it, I'm gonna go home?
I know. Like, what do you have, or what does he have that you want that bad?
It's like, he has a whole, basement full of cocaine. This will cure your ailment.
Turns out the witch doctors actually do have a purpose. Belief in magic and the powers of traditional healers are widespread in Tanzania. I almost said Tanzania. Which is how I used to think it was pronounced.
Are you fucking serious?
I thought that's where the Tasmanian devil was from. Some witch doctors say that the body parts of people with albinism are effective when making magic charms, leading to the killing of dozens of albinos in recent years. And I remember we've read stories about that here and there when it happens, that people are, like, chopping off albino cocks because they think it'll, like, make them, I don't even know, fertile, whatever. In 2009, the government outlawed all witch doctors and traditional healers. You know that's, like, your shit is just out of fucking control when the government has to step in and actually outlaw it.
They're like, you're lying. Oh, kind of like, cross over there.
Like if Obama came over like, we're gonna outlaw all churches and homeopathy.
Don't you remember?
Because you're lying.
What else got, taken away? Not in the United States, but over, I can't remember exactly where, but chiropractors
Oh yeah, right.
They were disproven.
So,
maybe the same too. Ball field. So
16 miles long.
They're all subluxated. I don't know.
Yeah, it happens. So he said he wasn't going to take any more people. His concoction is made from herbs and water. He sells for 500 Tanzanian shillings, which is about 30 cents. You're waiting 16 miles for 30 cents worth of this piss, whatever, this piss.
Maybe it's really good. You don't know.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Maybe it has cocaine in it.
Maybe it does. Good fucking.
You know, I would probably wait 16 miles if I was going to get a kilo of blow when I got there for a few cents. Okay.
Would that make the line make sense?
Yes.
Okay. No.
But I could not be on cocaine in the line.
Well, that's the 52 people that have died.
Right.
So they
would end up running out of the line and back in.
That's so crazy. Word has spread in the past month of the pastor's supposed ability to cure any ailment. Some people have even been taken out of the hospital, okay, by their relatives.
Whoa.
Hey, we need you to come with us. And then they get there and they see just a line and then they died.
It's fucking retarded, dude.
What's the harm?
A
16-mile line? I don't know. This concoction? What are your ingredients? Albino cock and what else? Okay. The health minister shows that, some of these people have died before seeing him. Others reported to have died after taking the concoction. After fully taking
his die after you take
concoction.
You get your miracle fucking cure. That sucks.
Yeah. Health Minister Haj Hussein Mapanda said the tests had shown that the mixture was safe for human consumption. Oh, well, I feel better now.
Oh, it's totally safe, but they died.
Right, if you say so. He said tests were now being conducted to see if it has any medicinal properties. Don't let the same guys that did the tests on pot do that, because it'll take them 50 fucking years to come back and lie to you.
Right.
extra police have been deployed around the area to control the huge crowd, some of whom have traveled from neighboring countries such as Kenya and even further, of course. Unbelievable.
Dude, that's retarded.
16 miles for your concoction.
Okay. Yeah, it better be a kilo of blow.
Okay. Yeah. That had better
I'll fucking go stand in line.
This does have medical properties. It's loaded with blow from the Bolivia bar.
Yeah, I
so it can cure any concoction, any ailment. Do you think it could cure this lady's ailment? This lady from
what ails her?
She can't close her eyes. I need you to look at this woman in the eyes. Okay.
All right.
Okay. In the chat there. Look at her in the eyes. Patterson, New Jersey. A jury is out on a case of a New Jersey woman who says an eyelid procedure gone horribly wrong, if you
ask
me.
She just looks like she's rolling her eyes up. Like
she's trying to fucking blink, but she can't. And that's so angering.
Use your fingers.
Maddening. The eyelid procedure gone wrong. That's the reason she can no longer close her eyes. Marilyn Lysis said she went to a Bergen County plastic surgeon to correct bumps on her eyelids from a cosmetic procedure performed by another doctor.
You just
and
have
now,
shitty luck with doctors,
now
dude.
You can't even close your eyes fully, even when she sleeps.
Oh my God.
She says, I really have to really squeeze my eyes to fully close them.
So they, took part of her eyelid out, basically.
Basically. Could you imagine?
I would, stretch. Hey, get those dick weights and fucking stretch your bottom eyelid.
The tugger?
Up.
Do you think the tugger would work
maybe.
On that?
Maybe. I mean, eyelids are, as thin as foreskin, right? Fucking do
that
it.
That would be pretty awesome, I think.
Do it. You should give her his number.
Do you have a Twitter? What's your Facebook?
Yeah,
eyelid doctor. That's so great,
dude. What would you do if you couldn't close your eyes?
I would be so pissed.
Just all the time.
It would burn for one, right? So you
have you ever fallen asleep
with
like
your
this?
Eyes open? No, that's crazy.
Dude, no, I seriously didn't believe I did because I was like, no, it's stupid. And my dad or my brother fucking took pictures of it. And I'll be asleep like this.
I have seen the cat do
like,
it.
Like, yeah, with partial eye open. You
I
can't
have
tell.
Seen the cat do it.
You can't tell. But usually you fall asleep with your eyes closed all the way, and then, you know, you that kind of happens in the middle of the night. But yeah. I don't know. What the fuck are you doing?
Check this out.
Gone bad. CBS's Christine Sloan has more on this plastic.
Are you watching the
lawsuit.
News right now?
You can't close your eyes, so if you want to show us.
Fuck. What's
up? And that's how it is when you go to sleep.
That's how it is every day, 24/7, 365 days a year.
Marilyn Lee says she went to this Bergen County plastic surgeon to correct bumps on her eyelids from a cosmetic procedure performed by another doctor, and now she can't fully close her eyes.
I can close my eyes like this, but to blink, I really would have to squeeze them to make a full closure of the eye.
She totally looks stoned. Like, if you look at the video, she totally looks, because she's trying to, you know, she's
I
got
really
that...
hate the way news reporters sound. They're like, you know, she says she can't fully close her eyes.
Oh my God, Martha, that is so amazing. Back to you, Bob.
Right. No, like, it's, yeah, it's stupid.
The married mother of two from Bloomingdale.
The married mother of two from Bloomingdale has found out that she just couldn't. Close her eyes.
No, it's, she and just that's when close her eyes.
And they do that weird head nod.
Right?
And that's when she discovered that she couldn't close her eyes.
You don't do it right.
Back to you. Do it. Shut up.
Was in court today suing Dr. Paul Parker for negligence. During a break, we asked Dr. Parker and his attorney for comment. They both declined. But in court, his attorney told the jury Lees was warned of the risks and that she never complained after the 2005 eyelid surgery called a blepharoplasty.
This patient was given that information as to these risks.
Lees disagrees. Her attorney...
He was in there. He's like, I told that bitch!
Right?
I fucking told her! She still owes me money. Shit.
It's the opinion of another doctor who says she wasn't a good candidate for this surgery because of too many other procedures.
You should have been honest with me and told me that I was not a candidate and should have suggested other options for me.
And so should have the last doctor and the one before that,
right.
And probably the one before that.
I think this woman is addicted to eye surgery.
Back to you.
God.
Lee says she has to use gel at night and a vaporizer so she doesn't scratch her eyes. She also says she's losing her vision and lives in fear of injuring her eyes.
She hates it on April 1st when her kids switch her eye goo with Vicks VapoRub. Back to you,
all the favorite things I used to do, like tennis, you know.
Oh, shut up. You can still fucking see. You don't play tennis anymore because you're lazy. Come on, let's be truthful. I can't do all the things I used to love to do. Like blink and sleep in the dark.
Dude. Just tape them shut.
Right? Problem solved. Hey, here's my friend, the eye mask. Have you ever seen one of these?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Swimming, horseback riding, bike riding, skeet shooting, and gardening. I can't.
You were a skeet shooter, you dumbass.
All of a sudden, you're a terrible shot. Yeah, okay.
I can't. It's my eyes.
Yeah, it's all in the eyes. I can't swim anymore.
How
either.
Do you fucking fuck up skeet shooting? Seriously, that's a shotgun spread with like a fucking 8-foot diameter. You know.
No, what
like,
she's not telling you is that she's had like 5 reconstructive arm surgeries also.
Looks like
Lee admits to having multiple surgeries before going to Dr. Parker and says she may be able to correct her problem through another procedure, but that she is afraid to go under the knife. At the courthouse in Paterson, New Jersey, Christine...
Wait a second.
Hold on. She's from Jersey.
Oh, well. You're afraid to go under the knife, really?
Dude...
All of a sudden...
This New Jersey woman has had entirely too many eye surgeries.
That's cabbage. Back to you, Tom.
She says she's a victim, but the doctor says otherwise.
That's so fucking awesome, dude. You're gonna be my new correspondent.
It sounds so stupid. I hate it, dude. It's retarded. Like, really, just talk like fucking normal people.
Hey, do you want to do it again?
Why?
Because it's fun. I don't know.
What do you want me to say?
No, not you. I was just...
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So this is a story about a gentleman. This is so horrible. He was found stuck to a chair.
Okay.
Basically. And I know this is gonna...
Introducing
Yeah! Fucking yeah!
Tonight's headlining story is a 37-year-old man discovered stuck in a chair in his own home.
Bel Air, like, Ohio, we come...
Blah, 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 blah.
Hold on, I have to see this degree ad first, you fucking whore.
I thought you... Oh, wait.
...of a morbidly obese man who literally had not left his chair in 2 years. When he couldn't be waking on Sunday, Ness E-Squad responded... Perhaps the most bizarre call of their careers. Not only did he have to be cut out of his chair, but they had to cut a hole in his house to get him out. Now the 43-year-old Bel Air man is in Wheeling Hospital fighting for his life. 7 News reporter DK Roy joins us from Bel Air with the shocking details. DK?
Dude.
This is a case that nobody wanted to talk about, at least not on camera.
Bah.
Off camera? They said a lot. They said the man was welded to his chair with urine and feces.
Hold on. Welded with what?
Urine and
feces?
They said that he was welded to his chair with urine and feces.
When mixed together, the deadly two can be a...
cement.
Composition.
He hadn't left his chair in 2 years. But
Oh, well. Okay. Let's
see. Whose fault is that? Okay, tell me he broke his leg and no one was there. Maybe I'll have some kind of remorse, but you could have crawled, man. Come on.
Feces and what? Urine? 2 years worth?
It's a lot.
Is that cement?
That
rubber cement?
Yeah.
I can't move.
Yeah.
I'm so hungry.
...were visible, but one police officer had to throw away his uniform after helping cut the man out of his chair. And this slab of plywood covers the hole they cut in the house just to get him out. Bel Air code enforcer Jim Chase says...
Nolly Zendead says he and the chair are one. He is the lazy boy.
Oh, dude, it's disgusting.
Burger says have him donate some of his extra skin to the eyelid lady. Yeah, done. You're welcome. Now you can close your eyes.
That's disgusting.
Why does my face smell? What is that?
It was horrendous.
Well, the chair was outside. They had to take sections of the wall down in the house in order to get him out. The chair was very filthy. A lot of odor to it. Going in the house was not clean. The living room where the man lived in his chair was very filthy, very deplorable.
Well, I mean, a king, what's the saying? A king, his house is his throne, his chair is his...
What?
Where he will die if he never leaves it. What's that saying?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Dude. Unbelievable somebody lives in conditions like that.
Shockingly, two other able-bodied people lived there. Another man who had a separate bedroom and the girlfriend of the man who was stuck in the chair. Officials say she served food to him since he never got up.
Would you just, like, continually bring me food, or would you be like... Here's the food and set it on the kitchen counter and be like,
right.
If you want it, you're going to have to go get it.
Like, how would you keep walking in there when you start to smell that or see that?
Why would you stay with someone like that, though? Like,
think about
I don't understand
it, though.
The...
Like...
Are you just getting his check?
If you're in the chair...
In the
you
chair.
You gotta take a dump.
Ma'am, number two.
Can you just like cut a hole in the bottom of the chair and just?
Oh yeah, because if you're sitting,
where's it going?
If you're sitting and you poo,
I got you know if I'm
that's traffic jam.
You can right, dude. Like you gotta have some space.
I do that, dude.
Pump that turd out
all day today. Driving to Polson, I was like trying not to fart because I don't want to poo my pants. But, like,
okay.
I would do that. I would, like, get up like this and, you know, give it some space. Because otherwise...
You gotta do it.
Otherwise, it hurts. And if you do poo, you don't want that just splattered
smeared
everywhere.
All over yourself.
That's right.
Like this guy.
I want a nice malleable log that I can just huck out the window. Not stopping. Have the wheels fallen off? No, I'm not stopping then.
Chase says now they have been given orders to clean it or leave it.
I instructed the landlord.
Can we leave it? Okay, peace out.
Right.
Because I'm definitely not cleaning it.
Nah.
Have you been in there? Yeah, I'm not cleaning that.
And the people, the other two tenants at the house, they have to get it clean. There's no way they can live in something like that, so they are working on it. So I'll be going back daily, checking on it, making sure that they get it cleaned up and stubble. If not, they must get out.
One officer said it was the worst thing he ever responded to.
Oh, of course it was. They always fucking say that. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. Alright.
So, like, did this guy... Is he okay? Is he alive and shit or what?
No, he died. That was the thing. They found him and he was dead.
Oh, okay.
And the other two...
Why didn't they just, like, fuck... No, that's stupid. They're all like, oh, you know, we had to cut him out of the chair. We had to cut a hole in the house.
Yeah, see,
fucking
he,
just drop
him,
a bomb on the house.
They took him to the hospital when the actual story came out. But then the update is that, yeah, he died. So.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I was like, why are they taking so much fucking care to get this dead guy out of a house?
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, being next to him in the hospital? God, that would suck.
He died in the bed.
Right, he died in the hospital.
It's a bed, not a lazy boy. Can you imagine?
She checked on him periodically, but lately he always sat with a blanket over him. I had no idea it came to this, really. When's the last time you fucked him?
Right?
Ugh.
Did you ever see him move?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
For how long?
He was 43. I'm gonna say probably a good half of that at least, right?
Wait, no. Well, how long was he in the chair? Did he knock it up for it said?
Or I don't think it said, like, 2 years. He was in there for 2 years on the chair.
Dude.
Just straight up, like, on it. Like, check it out. This is my chair.
How could you not get up?
Just get up. No, I can't. You can do it. Just get up. No, but I can't.
I don't understand.
Get up. I can't. No, man, I can't. You can do it.
I know.
How would you not? You would have to. Or you would just die. Or someone would, you know, take you to the hospital, I guess, right?
Or you just have this lady bring you food all the time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess if you can.
Dude.
Why not?
I seen another one that was kind of like that, but the lady had it made. It was this big slop of shit lady, and she made her kids take care of her, right?
Hold up, Burger says, Jesus, I at least get out of my chair every few days. And I don't shit myself in my chair. High five, Burger.
No, you're going to ruin the chair. Anyway, there was a lady, a big, just huge, monstrous, nasty lady. Mm-hmm. Didn't fit in a chair. She's in a love seat.
Of course. A love seat. I
mean, fucking A.
There's no love in that seat,
and
honey.
And seriously,
I'm sorry.
They had accommodated her so much, it wasn't even funny. She had a bucket for shit and piss right there.
Of course.
And then she still cooked dinner for her family. But her family would bring her a fucking little Coleman camping stove.
Really?
And set it in front of her and fucking bring her anything she needed.
Are you to living cook. At that point?
Nah. It's disgusting, dude.
Yeah.
You are disgusting.
Completely.
Fucking
I
gross.
Agree. I agree. In New Zealand, real quick before we get out of here, we have a gentleman here. He was trying to start his car.
Uh-huh.
And there were these kids outside laughing at him. And apparently he got really pissed and ran them over. Yeah. So
good job.
Now who's laughing?
Fuck you.
Oh, and apparently also, and I'll put a link to these in the show notes once I get caught up on them. But you know how we were talking about there's pirates and all that in Somalia and the Somali pirates and all
right.
that. Well, apparently it's getting so bad, they've asked for UN help to build a jail for pirates. Pirate jail.
Dude.
Who gets booty in pirate jail?
Are you fucking serious?
Who gets booty in pirate jail? Huh? Hey, speaking of booty in pirate jail, you know what Montana is?
What?
The motherfucking treasure state. You know why? Because we're all pirates.
Are we?
Yeah. Are. Wait, did you say, are we? I'm done. I'm sorry. Email info@thejamhole.com, thejamhole.com. That's our website. Leave us a message, 406-204-4687. If the nice lady from Byte Magazine is listening, hi, I would love a job writing. I actually sent her a resume today.
Did you?
How awesome would that be? The new Byte Magazine coming back?
Oh, that'll be great when you're like, I don't have fucking time! I have to do this show shit! I have to do the fucking show notes!
Okay.
I have to do this! I have to do show notes for this one!
Please don't listen to her. I will
make
time.
Yeah, because you don't complain about that every day.
Can I just say, for that, I would make time.
Okay, give it a week. Well, before you're like, fuck, I gotta come up with something to write for them. Blah, blah,
no,
blah.
It's... I don't think it would be like that.
I think it would.
I think it would be like when
it'd be exciting for like maybe a month. You'd be like,
really?
Fuck, I need to find
this
something
to write
about.
This is something I've always wanted to do, though, like, for real.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously.
Have
like,
fun.
I think that would be great. Write about something I know about and like. It'd be awesome. I could do their podcast.
Until you start to hate it.
Well, hopefully they would see that I do have a little bit of talent, like, Christian Lander said, just a little bit's all it takes. I have that, just a little bit. And, you know, maybe it could turn into something more. I actually pulled over at work and tethered my Droid X Liberty 1.5 to the netbook and, like, did a resume real quick.
Wow.
The last one I had up there was from, like, 07. I was like, shit. I took some of that stuff and then updated it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You still had a resume?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Just keep that
from all my,
file.
Like, Nortel network install shit? Dude, I have a list of job sites of shit I did, like, that long. I was good. Back in my prime, when I was 18.
God, dude.
Before my life took a left turn down Depress Alley. Shit.
Podcast Alley, you mean?
Yeah, that's exactly yeah. what I mean. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
August 13th, third annual Jam Hole Live Show. Check out thejamhole.com/250. That's the first one we did. Thejamhole.com/404. That's the second one
Burger
we did.
Burger says back before he started doing drugs.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
There was no before he started doing drugs.
I blame my parents
what
for
was
that.
There was no time, such a thing.
In the long, long ago, back before.
Yeah,
I
no.
I don't remember.
There was no such thing.
Sure there was. So.
I guarantee you were doing drugs when you were working for that.
We're
company.
Going to Milwaukee for a live pot.
Pot.
For a live potty meetup. We're all going to go to Milwaukee and potty.
In Burger's chair.
We're going to potty with Red Fox and Sporkros and Am I Bugging You, Mike and Eddie. And Nicole, me and Danny, maybe Braden if he can go. And Braden's probably not going to go. Sorry, Red Fox. Sorry to kill your heart
yeah,
on.
He's
but,
a dishwasher. I don't think so.
Well, I'm just saying I don't think he's going. But I asked him if he wanted to. It's going to be a good time. And then come back here in August for this. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see you guys on Friday, all right? All right. Will I see you on Friday? Goodbye. I will.
Goodbye.
You are listening to The Jam Hole. The Jam, The Jam, The Jam Hole.com.